If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need BILL. BILL Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With BILL, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using BILL to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how BILL can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to BILL Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Yo, what's up, Theorites? Just a quick heads up, Dan accidentally recorded his webcam mic instead of his good mic. So he kind of sounds like a robot, but there's nothing we can do for this one. We'll be back to regular quality next week. Cheers.
Ethiopian legends tell of the Queen of Sheba who bore a son to King Solomon, the famous prophet king of the Abrahamic religions. The legendary Solomon, who was known for his incredible wealth and deep wisdom, who reigned over the United Kingdom of Israel. At Jerusalem, he had constructed the first temple that would become the resting place of one of the most mysterious ancient relics of the Western world. It was from this sacred temple that nobles who accompanied Solomon's son, Menelik, from Ethiopia, and smuggled away the powerful reliquary. Within this golden container was supposed to lay the original tablets of law brought down from Mount Sinai by Moses himself, among other artifacts of the early Israelites. Many legends surround the whereabouts of this mystical relic, but also the powers attributed to it. Was it a weapon of some alien design, or perhaps a way to communicate with a higher power? This case file, join the theorists as they become your top men. I said top men in discussing the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you. Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 186, Aliens and the Ark of the Covenant. I'm Wine Drunk Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Hogarden Dan.
And for the remainder of this podcast, I would like to be referred to as Indianapolis Jones.
You got it, brother.
Thank you.
Hey, can you turn on your camera, Zell, so we can see what's going on?
You can't see nobody.
You can't see nobody.
You can't see nobody.
There we go.
Man, look good.
Things just got sexier.
Ooh, looking good tonight.
Got four times as sexy.
Braden's not so burnt this week.
Yeah, looking better.
Peel it off. Did you like just one complete peel?
Yeah, I got some good flakes. Hopefully we won't have so much animosity now because Andrew won't think I'm mad at him because of my rosy red face. One thing, I'm just being condescending the whole time. He's like, look at how ready
he's so red.
Dude, I couldn't get over it. I got too much red raw PTSD. It's a fact of life. I'm sorry.
Gotta live with it.
Last week of the running challenge.
Whew.
First off, I've had a big setback. I couldn't run today. Yesterday I was running in the rain, ran a 10K. I got about 7K in because I know the route. I know the route that I run.
Yep.
And all of a sudden I have my app set to remind me at 1 kilometer intervals. And I was just like, normally I don't hear them. I zone out. I'm listening to music and I'm just kind of zoned out. I don't even pay attention. But all of a sudden it was like, I was very aware that I was like, man, I haven't heard one in a while. So I stopped and I looked, and because I was wearing my rain jacket and it got wet on my watch and was on top of the watch, it actually stopped my workout and logged it at 1.83 kilometers.
Brutal.
So I was like, oh, whatever. I'll just restart it, start the run back up and start running. And for some reason, like that stop and then starting running again mid-run while I was fucking with the workout, something just tightened in my Achilles tendon.
Popped it.
So
bad.
Fuck, listen to this. You want some cheese with this wine here, Paul? Dude, listen, you know you're not going to catch Dan, so you're throwing it in.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Sure,
But that brings me back to the topic of Maester Daniel and his mystery runs.
Are we talking Rungate?
Yeah, Rungate. Release the Maester's runs. If you go to Map My Run and you look at the challenge, you'll notice Dan's ahead of the other theorists, which is fine. I have no problem with that. The only thing
is ahead of me by 1.2.
I'm leading currently.
There's no transparency going on right now because you can't see Dan's runs. So these could all be fraudulently logged runs.
You're saying manual enter is what you're saying here.
Manually entered, sitting on the couch at home.
So why don't you make it so that that's enabled or not, like non-enabled?
I could turn it on.
So people can't do this.
Dan doesn't want people finding where he lives. That's what he told us. Sure. But Dan,
we run a conspiracy podcast, and you guys are having me run like a location tracking app.
Listen, so far only one of us is getting fucking death threats. All right, so you're going to be fine.
Everything
will be okay,
dude. The running challenge was going great. I would just make sure to keep up with Braden and Dan. I didn't want to get too far ahead or too far behind. And then something happened like 5 days ago where Braden ran an 8K, then Dan ran 10, and then every day now you have to run 10 or you're lost.
Braden was the catalyst. He said 8K. I was like, all right, I was holding back, but
I was happy with my 5K a day. That was perfect. And all of a sudden it just ramped up.
Nope.
And now Dan's running 10K every day, no matter what.
Honestly, I wasn't having any problems either. I wasn't having any problems till that last run. And I took the day off. I rested, lots of ice, ibuprofen. I think I'm going to be back.
Dude, you're going to pop an Achilles. You're going to hear that fucking.
No, don't pop an Achilles.
Your Achilles tendon is going to roll like the blinds just fucking rolled right up, buddy.
Worst.
Miserable, dude.
Yeah, I busted out 10K. And my last 10K today, I ran 10K today. It was faster than the one.
Dan is surprisingly.
Was it faster? Wow. Would you run it in 4 minutes? I bet. How long did it take you to log it? 2 seconds?
Wait, didn't you fucking read the book? The Turtle and the Hare? Fucking turtle wins. Dan's turtle.
I was holding back. I was just like, I warned you guys at the beginning of this. You guys begged me to join the running challenge. You said, Dan, you got to do it. You got to do it, Dan. I said, hey, guys, I get really competitive. And if you guys, you know.
I liked your quote on Discord where you said, you can't. What would you say? You can't.
I said, you can't do a rain dance and then complain about the hurricane.
That's good. That was good. I when I saw that, I was like, fuck, that's a good. I was like, you know. Fucking!
We had a nice gentleman challenge going on, and then Braden did an 8K, and then Dan said, "Fuck you!" And now I have to run every day for an hour and 15 minutes, no matter what. Or I'm.
That sounds awful.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be
back at it tomorrow. I needed the extra day. So this officially marks 3 days off. This is my third day off in the entire month. Not bad considering I had to take like 2 weeks off fucking last year.
Buddy, honest to God, gauge it. Go for a little light one. Do a yog. Start it slow.
I'll die on the trail.
He's gonna die on the trail. Before
I should just do 5K twice a day.
Here, Dan just like if he dies, he dies. Dan has no sympathy for you. He doesn't care. If he dies, he dies.
They ask me what is best in life, and I say to see the other theorists crush before me, and to hear the lamentations of their women
within my wake.
Yeah, that's so great.
Scorched earth, man. Dan plays for keeps.
But anyways, it's been a good turnout. Good turnout, everyone. I mean, it's good fun. Get active. It's really helped me kind of get back in the groove of getting out and getting active again. So I'm thankful for that. And it's always fun, you know, in the community, especially on Discord, you know, and the subtle chirps on the Facebook group and stuff. It's good. It's a good time.
Subtle. There's nothing subtle about that fucking Facebook group, man.
Straight daggers.
Straight daggers.
Dude, right it's awful.
Anyways, the rain challenge will be over by next episode. So next episode, we'll have an update.
We're going to be announcing Dan's official DQ. Unless he releases the runs.
Stop.
Is that what Dan gets when he wins? He gets a fucking DQ party cake or what?
Yeah. He's going to get Dairy Queen.
I'm just happy. I want to crack. I was trying to crack top 10 and I'm pretty close. So
I'm still pretty confident that I can crack top 10, but we'll see.
I was trying to get to 100K and I'm past it now. So I'm content.
Yeah. I'm past 100.
I can't let Dan win. So now I have to run 1,000,000 miles every day.
I had 3 goals. My 3 goals were beat my last year, get over 100 and be top 10. I've done 2 of 3. I'm going to make the best effort not to have my leg fall apart on me in these last 5 days.
Take care of yourself out there.
I squatted 400 pounds the other day. Got a bleeding nose to prove it. So
what is that? 12 plates?
Pretty close.
At least 12.
Pretty similar.
All right. So tonight we're talking about mainly focusing on Ark of the Covenant, but I wanted to get a little clickbaity with the title.
Alien.
Our name is already Alien Theorist.
You wanted to double up on the alien.
Like, I don't know.
So we're talking about the mythical object of great power and great mystery. No responsibility.
Great responsibility.
No responsibility.
This was the April Ron Pond fan picked on our Patreon. Just so you know, there were three choices. Out of the three choices, it was this one, Edgar Cayce, and we had cannibals in the national parks.
Yes, and we thought cannibals in national parks would be the clear winner. And yet again, for another month, you all picked wrong.
Ark of the Covenant. Ark of the Covenant squeaked out at the end, probably like 5 votes. It was like 4 or 5 votes. It beat cannibals.
Again, so if it sucks, it's on you. You guys blew it. Again, it has nothing to do with us.
Picks.
Don't. If we get anything less than fucking 5 stars on this, it's on you guys. You fucked up.
This is your pick. This is what you wanted.
Yeah, you brought it on yourself.
Good pick.
It's still a great topic. Don't get us wrong.
It's
awesome.
It's been requested. Like, it's not like I throw these things up there and they haven't been talked about.
No, they're the requested ones.
It is an interesting topic, and there's an interesting discussion around it that we're going to get into. So where does it start with the Ark? Where does this thing pop up? Where is it from?
What is the Ark?
So the Ark is I guess you call it a holy relic or artifact from the Hebrew Bible. And it is constructed by the Israelites while they were camping out in the Sinai desert, you know, for the 40 years after, right after they fled Egypt. So most of the information that we have, actually pretty much all the information that we have about the Ark of the Covenant is from biblical texts. So descriptions within the Bible give us all the information about the physical construction of the Ark itself. It pretty much describes it of consisting of about 5 major parts. So you have the actual wooden box. It's like a wooden box. If you've seen Ark, Raiders of the Lost Ark, kind of picture that in your head.
Just minus some gold.
Right. So it's kind of like that. You have the wooden box itself. They give us the measurements of it is 4 feet by 2.5 by 2.5. It differs a little bit. I think they used cubits to describe
it. They say it as a unit of measurement. They call it 2.5 cubits in length and 1.5 foot, in breadth, right? And 1.5 in height.
A cubit is a foot?
There was a many different cubits of the ancient age.
But yeah,
it depends.
So like the measurements kind of like it, depending on where you get it from, where you pull your stuff from, it can vary within the acceptable margin of error. It's not like you're going to be like, one is the size of an SUV and then one is the size of the fucking your kid's toy chest or something, you know, or bread box. You had the lid that laid on top of the box. This was made entirely of gold, and the box itself was actually only plated with gold.
Oh.
So you had an entire lid.
Why didn't we call this case file "What's in the Box"?
What's in the box?
We know what's in the box.
So you have this entire lid made of gold. The third component would probably be considered the pair of gold cherubim or sphinxes. The descriptions vary about what exactly the things that were, but there's these two figures that sit on top of the chest. on top of the lid.
I had always thought that the cherub, like when you refer as the cherub, that's those little cute little angel babies. That's what I thought.
Yeah, little Valentine's babies. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Little Valentine's babies. So when there's like this couple of cute little cherubs on there pointing arrows at each other, I was like, no, it's not. There's some winged. When I heard that, I was like, oh, I didn't know that. I guess cherub refers to a lot of different.
Well, it's a type of angel, like cherubim are a type of angel. So it's just a regular kind of winged angel,
cute, I guess, baby
as opposed to your giant angel, like your seraphim, which are like eyeballs with wings and rings of light around them and all the kinds of crazy shit. But these two figures faced each other on top of the box, and then they would have their wings, you know, out their back or from their arms, depends on, you know, different depictions of the ark, would be touching in the center of the lid.
Not quite touching. There were like, or there not was quite small, touching. Small gap between.
Maybe a small
the gap. The best part about this is basically like what Dan just read, like that's a word for word what is written about this. And it's like, if anybody, like, it's basically like they're inviting people to make duplicates of it. They're like, these are the exact same, you know, dimensions of this fucking ark. Do with it what you will.
Right.
Make as many of them as you want.
Yeah. And so you had the box and the lid. Now the lid was understood within the biblical text to be considered God's throne. So the Jewish God at the time, Yahweh or whoever you want to say it.
Yahweh.
And then you had the box itself was viewed as his footstool. The next component of the box would be the wooden poles, which were inserted through four gold rings that were never removed. And now you only had the priestly tribe of Levi was permitted to lift and carry the ark. So you had these wooden poles that were put through there, and then you would lift it up, much like a palanquin or something like that, Staves. And then they would carry it themselves. And then the fifth and final feature that you would pretty much see in there is what's inside the box. So what's in the box? The what's inside the box can be disputed a bit because it's not 100% sure, but probably the most probable contents are kind of some of the things that are mentioned the most. You have the tablets of law. So you have the actual 10 commandments, you'd have the stone tablets or the remains of the stone tablets that Moses brought down from from Mount Sinai.
When he was high on mushrooms or
talking acacia, to bushes and shit.
Acacia bush. Bushes. Yeah.
You'd have a jar of the biblical manna. So the food that was sent down to the Israelites while they were wandering around the desert and had no food. You'd have a jar of that within the box itself. And then you'd also possibly have the actual rod of Aaron, who is Moses' brother.
Yeah.
And the rod has all kinds of other properties in itself. I think there's a bunch of stories.
He's walking around with his brother's rod. Rod in a fucking box. That's kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, I was like, first off, like minus the dick jokes, I'm like, was this rod less than 4 feet? Like, did they break it to get it in there, or they just get it in there perfectly at an angle? Like,
well, it's not about the fucking length of the rod, Braden. You know, maybe it's a girthy rod that you can fucking use.
Yeah, a little short.
Yeah, it's all good. Might not be big, but it sure is small. All right.
What were those things that you? Yeah. What were those things you smite the devil with? What were those called?
The blasting stick rod. Or the blasting rod. Rod.
It was the That's the original blasting rod.
Probably.
Yeah, maybe.
It's Aaron's rod.
Dude, the grimoire is inside the covenant. This is all making sense now.
Holy fuck!
So the ark was considered pretty much the symbolic presence of Yahweh. So the ark is within the Bible is connected to things like miracles and oracles.
Death.
There are examples within the Bible, anecdotes about the ark displaying powers or displaying abilities that were, you know, either it was like the power of God channeled through it and then gave it powers to do things. And we'll get into that in a second.
It's basically like, believe it or not, Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, had it pretty right. It pretty much works exactly like the Nazis intended it to work. That shit does, in fact, melt faces.
It did a couple other things besides that.
But it also melts faces.
There's stories of, like, you know, those monks going in and they'd have to be tied off because they would fuck around with the box and die. Like, they'd get zapped or die. And then they would say that anyone else who would go in to retrieve them would also suffer the same fate. So they had to wear a rope around their waist because if something fucking happened to them, they would just drag your fucking corpse out of there.
Yeah, so the ark was considered an exceptionally holy relic. And when they were carrying it through the desert, the Israelites were known to build like a tent around it, or at least veil it from people. So the only persons who were supposed to lay eyes on it were like the priestly class. So yeah, the tribe of Levi and all them, and like Aaron and all those guys, they were the only ones who were supposed to look at this, because if anyone else looked at it, there was the very high probability that they would be struck down by God
himself. Yeah, this the mobile tent was called, what they call it, the tabernacle or tabernacle?
Yeah, so the tabernacle, which is still a thing.
Tabernacle.
Like that's, the tabernacle is still a thing. And so it kind of, the construction of the tabernacle.
It's huge with the French Canadians.
Well, it's like the holiest of holies. So it is the, within a church, like most churches and like in tabernacle. Synagogues, they have like a tabernacle. They have an area where it is like, this is the place where, you know, like the seat of God. And so that's where traditionally they would place the ark, is somewhere in there. Right. the ark was actually constructed by a single person, or in the Bible, it is reported to have been created or constructed by a single person who was known as Bezalel, who was the son of Uri, son of Hur, who was given knowledge. And that's in the Bible, according to the Bible, he was given all the knowledge by God to construct this thing. And you know, God was telling Moses, you're going to pick this guy to build it because I have put all the knowledge in his brain on how to build this thing. He knows.
I thought the story was like Moses was told how to build it and he found that guy, but this guy.
That's what I was told.
No, he was, yeah, that guy was given the ability to build this to the specifications that were given. So he's like, I have created this. And I think Moses was just like, you need to find this guy and then tell him what you want, and then he will build it because I've given him all the knowledge in his brain to build that.
Was it that, or was he just the only one skilled at the time to do some woodworking?
He's the only guy that Moses could find in the yellow pages.
Well, I don't know. Like, maybe he's the only guy out there.
It's the only guy willing to work weekends.
He goes up Mount Sinai for the 40 days, as goes the story. He comes down with the commandments and the knowledge of how to build the ark. He finds this one dude. And I mean, if you go by the description of how the ark is built, like, sure, a wooden box, easy, but like to plate a wooden box in gold seems like, I don't know how you plate, like how you get that much gold and plate it perfectly front and back. So it seems like a pretty sophisticated technique.
Well, there is a bit of dispute as to whether there is only, well, I don't know if you want to say it now, but there might have been multiple arcs.
Possible.
You might have the actual arc. That can, well, you can have the one arc that control, it was
one arc, you know, to rule them all.
Well, it was basically a reliquary. You had the things like the original Ten Commandments and things like this, but you also had another one that is described in the Bible that is an ark that is a much more humbly constructed one, basically made just of wood and then controlled like, or contained like the broken pieces.
There was one found in King Tut's tomb as well.
Well,
like a fully, like almost meets the description, but the dimensions were a little bit off.
Right. There is a thing within Egyptian ritual that is called like a bark, called the bark. And it is a, there have been some scholars that have compared it or made parallels to the actual construction and the resemblance of the Israelite ark to this Egyptian Egyptian relic or holy artifact that it was a tradition to build this thing. You would pretty much carry it through towns. It was kind of a big to do. It very much resembles an ark. You would have these creatures on top of it, which were sphinxes, or they describe them as the pretty much not necessarily like the word they use for it is essentially means like figures that you put outside a doorway.
Okay.
So it didn't necessarily have to, usually sphinxes were those kinds of things. You would put sphinxes outside an entrance or a doorway. And so the Egyptian bark is sometimes considered like the prototype, or it may have been an influence on the construction of the Israelite ark because it was so ubiquitous. It was probably one of the only Egyptian rituals, since most Egyptian rituals were performed with in very high secrecy. Like nobody besides the priestly class would ever see the rituals. But this one was an exception, that you would have this bark like paraded out through the cities at times, like during funerals or during festivals, and they would like act out certain stories from myth and legend, and they would have these barks carried out. And if you
like an ancient Egyptian puppet show would come out of the fucking bark.
Around it, but yeah.
Good use. Cool. The other thing that I found is like a lot of like there was the discrepancy of the weight, because some people said like if this thing was solid gold, like
it's not like the lid
and stuff, it would weigh like something close to 1,300 pounds, which would
be so heavy if that were solid gold. Like, yeah, fuck, the thing would be.
So there's,
God, I think it would be heavy.
Yeah, there's
four guys would not be able to carry that.
There's lots of theories that like do the math and stuff. And it's like the lid was probably coated gold. And you can look up. There's tons of people. Obviously, the Ark of the Covenant's a huge topic, but there's lots of people who have done the math and they're like, well, based on it most likely not being solid because they carried it, it would be coated, and it would probably weigh around. To be able to carry it, they said it would probably be around 200 pounds.
Well, you know what's like, you know coated. What the deal is they were told initially, like Moses was told, but he's like, buddy, number one good price, I'll make it for you, solid gold. You're going to love it. Number one good price for you today, Moses. Number one, no problem, buddy. Take care. Gives him the thing. Not real gold.
Not real
bullshit.
Gold.
Yeah.
Got hustled, man.
Probably not even real gold plating.
No, probably not. Fucking fool's gold.
Fool's gold. Yeah.
So the Ark itself, within the Bible, displays certain abilities. It is a channeling of the power of God, essentially, to aid the Israelites. The Israelites were known to carry this in the Ark into battle at the fronts of their armies to kind of display their confidence that they were going to win. They are with God. God is with us. And help them win their victories.
The walls of Jericho, right? The armies surrounded the walls of Jericho.
Right. When the Israelites came out of the desert and they started invading everybody, because they're like, well, we're going to take back the land, I guess.
Yeah.
And, so when Joshua and them, that's a very common story, is where he's known that Joshua carried the ark, him and his armies carried the ark around the walls of Jericho.
And then they yelled, break the walls down! And then down they came.
Down they came.
No, but apparently the story goes that they all blew their horns and stuff, mm-hmm. and the walls crumbled, and they sacked the city.
Right.
And
they killed everybody to a man, except for a prostitute in her family who was known as the ancestor of Jesus.
But it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, when I look at that and I'm like, hey, well, that's kind of strange that they have this thing that has this power. They blow these horns. This is some Game of Thrones shit, the wall breaker, and they just destroy these walls. And then some people are like, well, no, it was just them. They were sitting outside. They were sacking the city. They were stuck inside, and it was fortuitous enough that an earthquake came. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's a good explanation, but that's not the story that's told. The story is that
they circled it
and they blew the horns in unison.
Even prior to that, like prior to them arriving in or taking the ark to Jericho or outside Jericho, they actually said that the ark was allowed the priests and them to carry the ark through the River Jordan by actually parting the waters. Like, it's not parting the Red Sea. It's not Moses level shit, but stopped the waters and they made them calm enough for them to go and travel across dry land to get across the river and then, approach the walls of Jericho.
Yeah. I mean, the walls of Jericho, it could be like taken out of context. Did all the walls fall, or was it a directed portion of the walls fall at the time? But whatever the stories of the Ark are, like to stop water and to knock down walls. Like, we
got to, even if you got this fucking magic box that takes out one wall, that's pretty goddamn impressive.
Damn right. Fucking rock walls. This comes crumbling down.
Oh man, it's the perfect ploy though.
Even if it broke a brick on that wall, I'm still impressed.
Yeah.
Could you imagine though? Like, listen, like, we got this box, man. We got this fucking box, and you don't want nothing to do with this box. It's scary as fuck. It's melting Nazi faces. It's breaking down walls. And these guys on top of the wall are like, I don't know, man. Do you think there's anything in that box? And he's like, you want us to open it? You want us to open the fucking box? No, man, it's cool. You win. Come on in.
Come on.
This is yours.
Well, then they're like, yeah, sure. Open your dumb box. And they open it and your walls of your fortress just come shattering down.
Or you just fucking run to the next city that you can fucking con into letting you take them over with your empty box.
One of the other stories that are anecdotes from the Bible that lends, you know, the Ark its sense of danger and whatever is that the Ark was actually captured at one point by the Philistines. Like after like two consecutive defeats, the Israelites, a costly defeat, like the second one, they lost like 30,000 men according to the Bible. And the Philistines were able to capture the Ark and they actually like took it to a couple of their cities. One of the cities that was unfortunate enough to receive the Ark was Ashdod. And Ashdod, while they held the Ark there for, I think it's a couple, like more than a couple days, like multiple things happened there. The first one was that where they put it, they put the Ark within the temple of one of their gods, Dagon, which was a popular a deity at the time. And then when they came in like the next day, they found the statue, and reports kind of vary about exactly what happened, but the figure of Dagon had fallen prostrate before the Ark itself, and it was either there on the ground in front of the Ark, or some other stories say that it was broken into pieces or decapitated. Then while the Ark remained within the city, there was reports, or there is, you know, legend says that the, you know, people, the populace of the city were afflicted with various boils, diseases and tumors and boils and all this stuff. So that's another kind of thing.
Biblical like, shit, man.
It's radioactive.
Biblical shit.
That's what I was thinking too. I'm like, a lot of this stuff, I'm like, you know, if you look at it, I'm like, this sounds like these people are fucking dealing with something that's highly radioactive.
Yeah, I know
maybe
what
it's
they
not
did.
Stable. Maybe it's not stable, whatever it is.
They've traveled forward in time to the fucking Coquitlam fucking SkyTrain station and scraped that shit off the wall that Braden shot out of his ass, put it in the box, and went back into time to take over the world.
Yeah, probably.
Well, what were the, if the commandments are inside the box, what were the, did fucking God give Moses like some radioactive bricks? And this is all some like nuclear device.
They're made out of uranium. Like what? Those things would be super heavy too if they're made of solid uranium.
Isn't there proof of like ancient nuclear reactors?
Well, there's the stuff in India that they say it might be like, they're like these crazy bunkers that are really old. And there's some parts that they think that's like, it looks like melted glass, which can only be from like meteor impact or atomic bomb. I've never looked a lot into it. I mean, but there is rumors of like ancient nuclear stuff. Cause they, well, the guy who made the atomic bomb, he quoted the ancient Indian text, Vedic text.
Talking about Oppenheimer?
Like, yeah. I am death, destroyer of worlds. It's like, he said, I'm the first person to develop this technology in modern times is quote at least.
So all of this lends this arc that is like, it kind of says like, well, yeah, this thing was pretty powerful, or it did something. So the other thing it said, it acted like an oracle. So it was this, it was understood that the Ark represented the covenant of the Israelites with their God. So with God. And this is the same God as Christian God, essentially. And, you know, any of the Abrahamic religions, you know, Muslim and
same God, different story.
Yeah. And so like their whole, here's a whole bunch of covenants. Like it always gets me with like, this was their covenant with God. I was like, what? Circumcision wasn't enough. Like that's covenant with God too. Like, what do we need another one for?
This one's made of gold, Dan.
Oh man.
That's what was so, in the box.
Oh, just a box of foreskins.
Told the story about David. I already told the story about David and the 200 foreskins. I already told that story.
When did you tell that story?
Bible's nuts.
There's a lot of crazy stories in the Bible. Definitely.
A lot of crazy shit in the Bible, just man.
Absolutely like, nuts.
It's like there are 100 stories. There's not 100. There's probably like 50 more stories that are more crazy than the Ark of the Covenant in the actual Bible. And they are all fucking crazy.
A lot of death and murder also.
Oh, yeah, tons of it. And dude, fear. Old Testament doesn't fuck around.
They do not like, fuck around.
But so like the Ark is
New Testament bullshit.
The Philistines, after, you know, all the people started coming down with all these tumors and boils and, you know, Egyptian plague shit, seven plagues of Egypt shit. They returned the, or reportedly returned the ark back to the Israelites. And the Israelites ended up, the reported final resting place, or the final place that we know that the ark was placed, was within the temple of Solomon. So Solomon built the temple when he became king. And then during his reign from 970 to 930 BC, that's where the ark had pretty much been there, like for at least probably about 400 years, or at least that's what's most understood.
Babylonians came a knocking.
Right. And then the ark is said to have vanished when Nebuchadnezzar II came and sacked the city, and the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem in 587 BC. And that's pretty much where you have the end of people talking about the ark.
During that, there was no mention of the ark. During that entire battle, nothing. There was no, like, wouldn't you think they're like, we boys, we've got to dust off this fucking ark. Like, this is the original can of whoop ass. We got a box of whoop ass right fucking here. Well, let's crack that shit open.
Maybe you didn't remember it, like, but maybe the actual, like, maybe there's a certain way to use it, right? And that's been lost.
Yeah, right? Just put it in front of them, they look at it, they die.
But they don't know. But maybe that's the thing, though. Like, maybe, like, if used incorrectly, this tool, this weapon that can be pointed, you can fuck yourself up, right?
Well, so somebody was like, go get the fucking box, go get the ark now. And they kept sending you guys, and they walk in, they die.
Zap.
Yeah, they just
and like, where the fuck, where's Malachi? And he's like, I don't know, go check on him. And he's like, goes down. It's like, we're
just keep sending people in there.
Fucking HUS.
Just dropping guys dead bodies.
Fucking
the Babylonians get inside. They're like, why is there a pile of like 800 bodies here?
They didn't even have to do anything. They just fucking hop the fence and everybody's
to
dead.
That kind of makes sense to me. Like, if you look at it this way, that this was some sort of weapon that could be used, that it was sealed away because they're like, you know what? If this is, this is a power that we shouldn't wield. Maybe that's what happened. Someone was like, this is a power we shouldn't wield. We don't quite understand it. And they sealed it away. And whatever knowledge they have of how to use it correctly or safely, you know, over a course of, especially 100 years back then and stuff, got lost. So it's like they knew they had something. They knew it was powerful, but they didn't know how to use it anymore. Right. And so that's why you don't hear it in these texts, because
the newer ones,
it just sat, right? Gathered dust.
It's a good point, because at what point, like, this is going to make me sound like an idiot, but I do that on a fucking podcast basis. Fair. So, like, what were their means of fucking, like, obviously this is fucking ages and ages before any type of printing press or anything like that. So, like, how could they pass down this information? They're still writing shit on stone tablets, like, fuck, right? So maybe maybe that information does die with a certain amount of people, and there's no way of keeping up with it.
You could take that same scenario and like bring it to modern days. The people who create phones and stuff just like disappeared, and in 100 years you came back, you'd have this phone. You could turn maybe you could turn it on or something, but you would have no idea. I mean, obviously, it's not going to like explode in your hands or kill you instantly, like maybe the Ark did. But like whoever develops it, even if they wrote it down and you could read it, it would take forever to like reverse or like relearn how to build it or what it does. There's more in the Ark, but the beers are empty. Got to take a quick refill, and we'll get to some theories.
Let's get into how the Zeta Reticuli dropped it off.
Yep. Pass it down, gave Moses some magic DMT, and all the other good stuff. All right, we'll be right back.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Boom, we're full. We're back.
Back.
Drinks in hand.
Back on thing. I'm like 4 or 5 deep.
You know, it's because it's a Sunday. You know, we usually record on Mondays. A little Sunday fun day. Everyone's got a couple drinks.
I've got 3/4 of a bottle of wine down.
I'm probably like 3 Hogartens and
that's
like
so nasty.
I'm on my second what do you Truly. Mean? Ugh.
You're gonna feel like ass in the morning.
Yeah, I'm classy.
Dude, you'll be fine. Okay,
put pinky out then.
So we have what the Ark of the Covenant was. Some quick theories on what it did, like the powers it had, and now. I mean, obviously, this thing's never been truly found. Like, it's right. You can't go
visit it. It pretty much boils down to we never found it. We don't know where it is. Where'd they go?
Where'd it go?
Not only that, but we don't even fucking know if it was real, if it was an actual thing.
It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible. So it's real. Do not hear us say that it was in the Bible. That is real.
Touché.
It's in there.
Samson killed 500 guys with the jawbone of an ass. I mean, that happened.
What if it's a metaphor?
Well,
the power within.
So there are a few locations that people believe, or that some people who are relic hunters, whatever you want to call them, Indiana Jones, those kinds of people, think that the Ark could have possibly been smuggled away to. There are some legends that report that perhaps there were some priests within the temple that, you know, were able to smuggle out a number of treasures, which included the Ark, outside of the temple before the Babylonians were able to sack the temple completely or destroy it. And some of them are probably more probable than the others. But in the end, you're just kind of like, nobody really knows where it is. There have been multiple expeditions that have been set out to go find this thing. One of my favorites was, I sent it to the guys earlier, was the Parker expedition. The Parker expedition in the early 1900s, where it was Montague Parker, pretty much got a bunch of rich guys.
What a name.
Yeah, got a bunch of rich guys together from Europe. From all across Europe, Montague. And went to the Temple Mount, this is the place where most people believe that was the original site of the Temple of Solomon. And they had started excavating. But the best part is that they excavated around the area, because this site, even back in the early 1900s, is one of the holiest sites to at least two major
religions. Like the
holiest site. Two major religions.
Constantly in battle for
contested
it,
all the time.
At all times.
Yep.
It's no holds barred all times.
And so they started digging around the Temple Mount. Montague got frustrated at some point. They weren't really making the progress that he believed that they should be making. He was 100% sure that the Ark was here, because he was going off the information of two mystics from Europe that told him that it was here. They couldn't accompany him on the expedition, because they believed it would be too dangerous, but they told him that 100% that it is here. And
don't they share one eye?
Just pass an eye. Pass it back and forth.
Yeah.
And so Montague Parker, he got tired of digging around, beating around the bush, and he decided to bribe, or was it the governor of Jerusalem at the time, and which would allow him to excavate within the Temple Mount itself, like under the dome of the rock, like under the directly under the dome. And what I'm picturing in my head from this is that it is Last Crusade shit. This is Indiana Jones, the Last Crusade shit. You've got him sitting there like banging on the floor, and they're just like digging through the floor until somebody actually came in, like a worshiper, random person came in and was like,
the fuck?
You people aren't supposed to be here. All dressed like Muslims. They were all dressed in like customary garb.
Parker and the gang were all dressed up like that.
Yeah, they were all dressed up like they were supposed to be there, but they're digging through the floor. And they're like, you're not supposed to be doing that. And then pretty much threw the entire city into a fucking riot. Like they had to run out of the city. They had to sneak out of the city or probably get torn to pieces. And it's just like, what the fuck?
They're going to get straight murdered.
So they bribed whoever they had to bribe to get in there and just started chipping away. And then everyone else is like, hey, what are you guys doing here?
Yeah. What are you doing?
Chased them out.
And they're all dressed like Muslims
it's all good, man. I fucking slipped Mustafa a 20 bill. Don't worry about it. It's cool. We're all good here.
So one of the places that they still think that it's there are still some people who believe that it is underneath the Temple of Solomon, the Temple Mount, somewhere in there. I know the people associated with the Knights Templar. The Templar had their original headquarters there, so that's one of the theories that perhaps it was there. They found it during their excavations. Another theory is that it is located in Qumran, so their city. And this comes from one of the more recent discoveries that there was a treatise found that resembled this metallic copper scroll that is part of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And this was actually found in Qumran, the city itself, which is on the West Bank. And the copper scroll actually talks about hidden treasures that were taken from, talks about hidden treasure, essentially, of the Israelites. But not some scholars say that it doesn't necessarily mention anything taken from Solomon's temple. But the treatise that has been translated, I think it was like 2014, which they call the Treatise of Vessels, it says that these treasures were concealed by a number of Levites and prophets. And this study of the treatise is still ongoing, I believe. So it's been going on for several years. And they still find discoveries within this translation that give us a little bit more picture of what was going on during that time, that this had probably been actually translated. Like this actual text itself had probably been translated multiple times through multiple languages. And even up to as early as the, probably like the 1900s, something like that, it was still being translated by religious scholars and things like that. I think they had they found a copy in the mid 20th century that had actually been discovered, and it was actually recorded in Beirut, Lebanon. And it was at the end of a series of inscribed plates that had a complete record of the Book of Ezekiel. So that's one of the things. There's at least one, I think, treasure hunter I saw in the History Channel believes that it is there. There are a number of hills that surround the city or the location of Qumran, and that he believes that within these hills there are caves, and he believes that within these caves there's the hidden treasures of the Israelites that they had smuggled out of Jerusalem.
There was also from what I was reading, there's some theories that maybe the Ark was handed over to the Knights Templar and that they had traveled with it and hidden it in North America at a certain island made of oak.
Made of oak that they keep. Season 11, we still haven't found it. The island is made of oak?
Yeah, the whole island is made of oak, from what I hear, my readings.
How can it be there when we definitively know that it's in Axum in fucking Ethiopia? We know this. They're telling us. They're fucking telling us it's here.
I 100% know that people, when they think about Christianity, like Orthodox Christianity, Ethiopia does not come up in your head, but it should.
It doesn't. Totally. I never even heard about that.
They say, they're claiming that the Cathedral of St. Mary of Zion in Axum, that the fucking actual Ark is there, but they won't let anybody look at it. And it's guarded at all times.
There's a legend that the Queen of Sheba, who was one of the first rulers of Ethiopia, had actually traveled to Jerusalem to partake in the wisdom of King Solomon. So, get that good Solomon.
Get some of that Aaron's rod is what we're saying.
Yeah, so all this shit is super boring. So what is the box? What is it?
What is it?
What is it? Let's get into some theories of what it is.
What are we talking about? We're talking about where it could be. These people are saying that they have it.
Who cares? I don't care where it is. I want to know what it do.
No, you know what? You're totally skipping everything because we actually, I was making a joke. It's probably not in Ethiopia. You know where it is.
Where is it?
It's in a warehouse in Washington, D.C. It's being studied by top men.
Top men.
The Nazis discovered it prior to World War II. Yep. An American archaeologist took it fucking back. Then he lost it again to the Nazis. The Nazis tried to fucking open it.
They tried to open an island near Cyprus.
We know this already, Jim. We've all seen the documentaries.
There's a documentary.
We saw it.
Indiana. It was called Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Me being his fourth cousin, twice removed, Indianapolis Jones. I know these things.
Indianapolis Jones.
I am Indianapolis Jones. You're welcome. Case is over. There's nothing more to talk about. It's over. We just... cracked it. Done.
So you're saying you know exactly where the ark is.
Yeah.
Except you can't.
Ancient Jones family secret.
You can't figure out how to work it because your ability with technology. You
can't look at it.
Well, technologically.
Yeah, I can't look at it. What do you want from me? I don't want to look at it.
Your ability with technology is subpar. So
Andrew is not of the tribe of Levi. So
yeah. I'm not wearing Levi. I don't have my Levi's on right now. They're upstairs. Got to put those on first.
You're the tribe of Levi. You're wearing Levi's 100%. All the time.
Head to toe. It's true.
I like it.
It's an ancient priestly garb, Levi's.
Yeah. Everybody knows it, at least around Canada. Yeah. Jean tuxedo.
Let's get into what we think the box it potentially is or what it could do.
Well, if you go with some of the theories of it was it can be a weapon. And if the wrong people went into the tent and touched it, they're pretty much vaporized. One of the most popular theories that floats out there is that if you read the description of how God said it was supposed to be built, so you had a acacia wood box, like a full box of wood, and wood's a very good insulator as long as it's dried correctly. And then coated in gold on the outside and on the inside, and then with the solid gold top with the two...
Cherubs.
The gold cherubs on top.
The gold Valentine's babies.
So from the description, it's described, it resembles a capacitor, right? So like a high, not necessarily a battery, but there's a thing called...
A flux capacitor?
Well, no, I mean, just a capacitor.
Just a regular capacitor.
Okay. Just a regular capacitor.
Okay. Just check it.
So there's something called the Leyden jar, which is like you can make it out of like a plastic or glass bottle with some tinfoil wrapped around it and a tinfoil ball on the top. You like rub like a plastic stick and create like a static charge. And you can actually create electricity, like DC current. So the theory is that the covenant, Ark of the Covenant, could have been a capacitor, like a high voltage capacitor is what they say. So they have the gold, then a negative charge on the outside or a positive on the inside, and the two cherubs are connected to each of them. And in the center, so between the wings, they call it, what did they call that little space? I fucking wrote that down here somewhere. Someone jump in here for a second. I got to find it because this was part of it. All right.
So, well, speaking of the capacitor, there's a documentary called The Truth Behind the Ark of the Covenant, which I fucking love. I love because it has some Canadian ties. They have this woman wants to create a scale model replica, exactly how it would have been built to the exact same specifications, and they want to fire it up to see what it does. So with the assistance of scientist John Hutchinson of the Hutchinson Effect fame, and a Canadian cabinet maker in Vancouver, they set out to make a scale model of the Ark of the Covenant. So it's great because their thing too, they believe it was a capacitor and it was charged up through the desert collecting charge. So they want to prove that they can make this thing. So the whole documentary splits between the time of this woman in the Middle East searching for clues and interviewing people about the Ark, and John and this carpenter building the ark. And they're building it. They get all the wood and the acacia wood, and they're building it to the exact specifications, the exact measurements. It looks really good. And the whole time they keep preaching that this is going to be an exact copy. And the second it gets time for, they got to start laying the gold, they go, well, listen, this would cost millions of dollars to cover in gold. And it's just ridiculous. It's just a ridiculous amount of gold. So we can use any metal because... we can use any metal that's a conductor to make it. So then they start like lining it with copper, and they add wires and copper, and they add wires to the cherubs, and then they hook those wires and the copper up to like a Tesla coil and a battery, and they run some super fucking high voltage through it. The fucking thing basically lights on fire. The cherubs are arcing because they're all wired up. They explode into fire. John Hutchinson's like, we did it.
Woo!
Voltage. He keeps going, voltage, baby. Voltage.
Voltage.
They turn it off, and he takes one of the cherubs that's all melted and destroyed, and he's looking at it, and he goes, like, you know, this just proves it. He goes, you know the amount of voltage that would have had to go through this thing to cause this damage? And I'm like, yes, the exact amount of voltage you put through it is the amount. And like,
they were acting as if this
was some sort of scientific breakthrough. And I was like, but you didn't follow the specifications. You didn't build a replica. You just made an electrical box like that was super conductive and hooked it up to electricity. Like you didn't need to do this to prove that. We all knew this.
You didn't make the capacitor. You just made the batteries.
If you told us that in theory, what you were going to do, everyone would go, oh yeah, that's 100% going to work. Like you're going to get something out of that. Like that's how electricity works. And then
just looking at the charred fucking Valentine's baby. 1.21 gigawatts, just like we thought. Perfect.
We're going to do the calculations of how long it would take for one man to kill 500 people with the jawbone of an ass. But instead of 500 people, we're going to use one person.
And a machine.
And we're going to use a chainsaw.
It works.
Oh my God. The Bible is right.
It proves everything.
God. We're geniuses. I'm a scientist.
My name is John Hutchinson, and I'm a scientist.
Which it sucks because the Hutchinson effect is really cool. Like it's like he pretty much fuses wood and metal together, or plastic and metal, like a whole bunch of crazy stuff that, or like floats bowling balls, and like he was doing some cool stuff for him.
Let me say this documentary is a dark point for him.
It's not a good look on him.
He's wearing like a jean jacket and a headband. Half the time he's like holding like some weird staff hiding in the shadows while he's talking. It's tough.
What are you talking about? He's doing the Springsteen houses a bad look. That's a great look. Springsteen? Fuck. Not many people.
No, he's wearing the jean jacket. He's wearing the traditional.
He's got the Levi's on.
Yeah, he's got the traditional Levi's garb. Like,
what do you want from this guy?
You don't want to die looking at that art.
Sorry that you don't understand science, buddy. That's fucking science.
Boom. Okay, so back to the capacitor, of it being described as a capacitor. So you have the two plates of gold, the insulating wood, you have the two cherubs with their wings, and in the middle, it was called the mercy seat, or like the seat of God, like where that's where you would see God, I guess, goes through the story. So like,
it's because you died. It's died if your finger went between the ark.
The last thing you seen was the spark of the charged static particles erupting from between the cherub's wings.
There's no way. Like, I cannot believe it is really hard for me to be like, you could produce enough charge to be like this. Well, this is it.
Well, that's what I'm saying though, is like a Leyden jar, scaled up Leyden jar. The way you charge the Leyden jar, which is like the arc was, is you rub like a plastic stick against it, and you are putting in the force to like charge to charge this device. So they're
right.
saying
so that, they don't have plastic sticks though, right? So you'd have to
no. What so would
they yeah, use? But they've got what's his name's fucking lightning rod or whatever in the box.
Aaron's rod to charge it.
Well, I mean, you have that, but
it's not that big, but it's fucking girthy.
So Frederick Rogers was the dean of the Department of Engineering at the Lewis Institute of Technology. So this is from 1933. This is where you find this story. And he dove deep into it. He took the description. He made like small replicas of like Leyden jars. And he's saying that the act of carrying this device through the desert, if the conditions were right, like the charge, but what do you call it? He called it a difference of potential exists. And this is his quote, difference of potential exists between the earth and the air, which may be collected in electrical charges under certain favorable conditions. So what he's saying is the act of them marching it around would actually charge this device up. And because a lot of times you hear the stories of like they had to wear those like protective gear. We talked about it might be radioactive. Yeah,
that covers their nuts and chest and neck.
But just like a, like if I, like a Tesla coil, if you wear like a chainmail, the current, if you touch like the Tesla coil, the current goes out around it and down and not like through your insides and fries you. So his theory was that like this was a high capacity capacitor, like a high voltage capacitor. The thing for me was like, okay, so you charge up all this energy. How do you use it besides like a bolt? So I could see if you march it around the walls of Jericho for 7 days and you somehow can direct the energy out of it, maybe, but I just couldn't find like how, like you charge it all up and then you arced it. Like if you touched it, it would arc, but I don't know how you would propel the energy forward. Maybe the,
what
I
if
guess,
you,
maybe
human the rod. Chain of yeah, sacrifices.
How would you direct it?
Human chain of you... sacrifices.
Yeah.
Right? That's everyone's holding hands around the wall and then one person touches the arc.
Well, maybe it had something to do with the rod or something. But I mean, that's just one, that's the main, that's the theory of like, it is described as a capacitor. It's just like how that capacitor translates to like parting rivers and blowing down walls and stuff. See, I couldn't find how it connects.
I start to think that those might be just fables, like those part of the stories. Yeah, wild, Andrew.
Fables, eh? Fables, you say?
Those are fables. Parts of the fables, but the walls coming down, that's real.
What I believe is that people were dying. The part of it that I believe is that when people were interacting with the box, they were dying and they didn't know why.
They get melted.
And I believe it had something to do with whatever was inside or the box itself or wherever they got it contained like something that was radioactive. Like something highly radioactive. And, you know, the instructions to make the box, if it was gold or whatever, or what it in fact was, who knows? We don't know where it is. We just have these stories about it, was to contain the radioactivity.
But you need
and like
way
that's
more.
What was passed down by like when, and you know, when we think of, you know, God and stuff, I believe that this was an extraterrestrial, like giving them some advice. It'd be like if a whole town's like dying and there's this radioactive and he's like, yo, Moses, like, you got to put this thing in this box and this is how you build this box and it'll contain that shit for you.
You know, and that makes more sense to me because if like, as opposed to the actual like biblical meanings for this box, it's like, okay, like this box is a gift from God and it's supposed to protect this and it's going to help you, but don't you fucking look at it. Don't you look at it because you're going to fucking die.
Don't touch it.
Well, that's like the thing. That, you know, if like, you look list, at it, like if you lift the lid, right? If you think about,
oh, you dude, know, you don't have to lift the lid. You just have to look at it and you die.
Yeah.
If you weren't the high, you weren't the right member of.
You weren't wearing Levi's. You're fucking dead. You're dead. That's it.
Well, if you think about the story that, I mean, he went up the mountain to talk to God. The story of like, okay, what's God? God's being not from this world, not from here, not from this plane. He's an alien.
Well, that's what I. That's
he's
what
a
I
goddamn
believe, yeah.
alien. Regardless of who you call God or who your God is, he's not from this world. So therefore, he's extraterrestrial.
So what makes Moses so special?
He, right place, right time,
descendant.
Baby.
Descendant. He's a descendant.
He talks to bushes.
Descendant of?
Aliens.
Yeah, and like, he, and like, honestly, or even, okay, imagine it was a future person, and you have Moses there being like, what's the keys to life? And he's like, I don't know, don't steal.
Maybe he was the first abduct, maybe Moses was the first abductee.
He was gone for 40 days.
Right, and maybe
the
tablets.
First guy they found.
Maybe the Ten Commandments was just like him being like, like, give me advice. He's like, I don't know if you do, if you like the Ten Commandments, like if you look at them, you're like, it's not a bad way to live your life. Like, honestly,
like, those are just like the common rules of
just common life. Rules, yeah. Like just being, not being an asshole. Right. So it's like, to me, it's like when you look
thou
at those
shall
things,
not
like,
be an asshole.
So yeah, they give the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. And then they wipe out an entire city.
But that's the name of God. Though,
with their magic box.
God tells you it's
the name
different.
Of God, it's different.
Yeah. It's different. Obviously. I mean, all the stories are like that. My God says I can kill your people. It's holy for me.
But God's an alien, right? So the aliens say it's okay.
The alien says it's okay to kill people
again,
in the alien's name.
Dan, you're taking this too far. I don't believe the aliens are saying this is okay. What I'm saying is like they're coming down. You're taking it too far,
Dan.
I don't think the aliens are like
taking these make-believe stories way too far.
I don't think the aliens would come down and say like, hey, listen, I want you to go and kill this group. I believe that if they came down and said they gave these advice, people would be like, you know, he talked to aliens. I talked to aliens. where I talk to God, the gods, and then that gets misconstrued until people taking it for power. Be like, it's God's will that we take over and we're going to destroy you because that's what they want. And it's like, that was never said. Like, thou shalt not kill. Whoa.
Using it for their own purposes.
We're doing that for personal gain. That was never what we were told by these gods.
Right.
ETs.
He's not from here.
Unless they wanted to watch. Like, maybe this was entertaining for them. They're like, yeah, sack the city.
It's all a science experiment.
Let's give these ants a magical box.
Made for some good intergalactic TV.
Give us a box that electrocutes people and see what we do with it. Yeah. We would treat it as this mythical device. Because they would wrap it up. They'd put it away in the special tent. And if you went in and you touched it the wrong time, you get vaporized.
Well, like, I don't know. Maybe, like, what if that fucking rod or whatever is like fucking radioactive, right? That's in there.
The rod's and radioactive. Like,
the same thing that Homer Simpson's hitching his back with.
Yeah,
we're talking about.
You know what I mean? Yeah, okay. Like, they just don't know. They think it has some power, but like you wouldn't be able to see it. You wouldn't know, right? You would go there and you'd be like, "Hey, I'm fine," and then you'd be like, "My face is melting," right? Like, and you would be all these like terrible biblical things, and if it was open and just irradiating around, you would have all these people getting super fucking sick, getting tumors, like getting fucked up. Anyone going in there be dead. You know what I mean? Like, if it's something like that, to be honest, to me, that's what fits this story, is that it was something irradiated. I don't know how, I don't know why. My brain, because I'm drunk, goes to like, maybe it's something we're doing now and it's fucking up in the past, right? Like, maybe some of these nuclear meltdowns and stuff has
we're in a
bigger time impacts
loop
through time than we know.
It's bringing it back to the flux capacitors.
Right? And it's sending these, it's irradiating objects through time.
I got to continue with this theory then. So Moses comes down after 40 days talking to God, the alien. He has this plans for this box. He gives it to this builder who builds the box. Where do you get the radioactive staff and stuff? Where does all that come from?
Well, whatever's in it, whatever you're containing in the box.
Yeah, but you have to.
No, we already said that the tablets of the Ten Commandments were made of pure uranium.
Oh, so okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's from Chernobyl.
So there's the box, like the instructions they give on the box are very elementary. They're not the right. They just wrote down what they thought it was, but it's really a device for capturing. Like, it's harnessing nuclear, like, fission
energy. Maybe
it's like a nuclear reactor. Maybe that's where the energy comes from.
But that's not how nuclear reactors work.
Yeah,
steam, maybe it was filled with water.
Even that, maybe, is like,
I don't know. You had the rod.
There's still like, you need like turbines. Space wind, you need like Dance turbines. Space.
We don't know. We haven't found it.
Dance from space.
Dan, you're trying to understand.
I worked with
technology.
Steam power for 4 years. I know that worked with steam engine.
This is alien technology,
space
Dan.
Space
this
steam.
Is space steam.
Space steam.
You don't
Dan.
Understand.
Come on.
Yeah, you don't they've get never, it. They've never written Come books on this technology, Dan, so you haven't read about it.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, I'm gonna write a book just to spite you, fucks. Like, I swear to God, one day I'm gonna write a book.
It's not gonna be a fucking space book.
Is it gonna be called "My Friends Are Idiots"?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong, but
no, my friends are space idiots. That's it.
That's home. I don't know, Dan. Okay, Dan, what do you think it was? What's the Ark of the Covenant?
Box.
What's your best?
Cool box. It's a cool box. It's a cool fucking box.
How to part the river.
So how does it get to all the stories then? Like, is there nothing about it?
Oh, there's a lot of stories. I mean, there's plenty of stories about stuff about
game.
All kinds of weird shit, not just in Western mythology, but Eastern mythology. Like, there's plenty of stuff. Did Hercules fucking part the... Yeah, I'm saying it's a legend too.
Like, does he have the Ark of the Covenant?
Are you going to take the entire Bible literally? Are we interpreting the Bible literally? Or are we going to make... Or
if you believe it's real. That?
If that's the case, if we're going to take the Bible literally, this whole thing is based around the fact that God gave Moses instructions to build this fucking ark a year after the mass exodus, where whatever 2.5 or whatever million Israelites had to leave. Well, we know for a fucking fact that never happened. There was no exodus.
No mass exodus.
That's not a thing. Least. That never happened.
Yeah, archaeological records do kind of show like the rise of kind of the Israelites. Their culture pretty much came between like kind of weird little like exchange between both the Canaanites and the Egyptians. Like you see a lot of melding of both the cultures. Like you see a melding of like the Canaanite god El with Yahweh. Like a lot of the qualities of both Osiris and those ones, the religions kind of melded into one little weird, well, not weird, but now one of the most prolific religions in the world. So it's like, it wouldn't be weird. And like I mentioned before, the Ark itself seems to be based on an Egyptian traditional, like a traditional, I guess, same kind of influences, chthonic, whatever, like after has to do with the afterlife, fertility, worship, communication with the gods. Like it's the same thing. So it could have just been something that they built just based on the fact that, like, we've seen this before. It's just an evolution. It just kind of becomes that thing. We do know that a lot of stuff that we know about Christianity, like, evolved out of, like, a lot of it was preserved, or old Christianity was received in Greek texts. Mm-hmm. We know that the Canaanites and the Egyptians had a large influence on the Phoenicians. Phoenicians had a large influence on the Greek culture itself and Roman culture and things like that. So now you have the whole thing going on.
We've talked to Freddie Silva, who basically is like, Christianity was just all made up for power. it was drummed up at a time, manipulating various other stories to make a new religion. But like that doesn't still explain, like, does these stories of the Ark, do any hold true? Is there some mystery
to this? That depends on if you want to interpret the Bible literally. So, I mean, you have to have a lot of evidence that lines up from the Bible with things. There are places in the Bible that are actual places that existed. Do the things that happen in the Bible not happen? Do we know if they actually happen? Some of them we found like are real events. Like we found Jericho, real place. It's real. The fort real, itself real like, person it does too. Exist. It's also a real person. Mm. A
bit Did you drink it. That whole bottle of wine?
No.
Oh boy.
You're a fucking animal, dude.
No.
He's healing his Achilles right now. What he's doing.
Yeah,
no, it's Achilles.
Give him strength.
It's Achilles.
With this wine, I shall be healed.
Yeah, it works. It works in the Bible. We're taking it literally, like, fuck.
Yeah, but it's white wine. It's white wine. You're doing
Help
it wrong.
Help me, Jesus.
Okay, so I'm going with it's an electrical capacitor for whatever reason. I'm not sure. Braden says it's a nuclear something. Dan says it's just part
it's
of
bullshit.
It's part of history. Who knows what
it's
is?
It's a cool part of history. Strange box influence with Egyptian influences. Yeah.
Andrew, what do you think?
I absolutely think that it existed at some point. And I also think that it was a fancy looking box. I got talked up into having this magical fucking history and past. And
now be studied by
nobody.
Top men.
Like I was saying, like, the exodus from Egypt never fucking, that didn't happen. That's been disproven. And that's the whole reason for this thing to be created.
Not the mass exodus, at least. There might've been people, chased.
They claimed it was something like 600,000 men is what they said. Oh. They said 600,000 men. That's only counting the men. So then you got to take in the women and children as well.
That's a lot of
that's
people.
That's a mass exodus.
For that time period, 600,000 people would be like the biggest city on earth.
Well, exactly, right? And so we know that that didn't happen. So that makes me, I believe it or not, I'm not sure, that book is very factual. Maybe this part isn't so factual.
to Andrew's point, maybe it was like a gradual exodus. Maybe it was something that was more like over
migration
or something. Yeah. You had a migration of the people who eventually kind of congregated to the evolve, at that time, the very young Jewish, early Christian, whatever you want to call it, Old Testament faith. Like maybe they were starting to come into their own. Like they're moving out of Egypt. They were all this whatever was going on. Canaanites and I think Egyptians were still kind of fighting, but maybe there was a kind of thing that just went on and it just grew up out of that. So
what am I take it all back. I'm fucking blown smoke. It's in Washington, D.C. It's being studied by top men.
Just
I told you guys. No. You
just
fucking know
that.
This.
Yeah,
yeah I said it before.
Brought it back.
It's being studied by top men. Don't worry
brought
about
that up.
It. did bring it up.
It's in a warehouse with tons of these fucking wooden crates.
God damn it.
I was getting too real. Let's
God
be honest.
Damn it.
It's in Washington, D.C. We know it.
Studied by
even though it belongs in a museum. We do know that it belongs in a museum.
Definitely.
It does. It belongs in a museum.
Okay, well, I mean, the Ark of the Covenant is one of the most talked about ancient religious artifacts. So it obviously comes with many myths and theories. And so obviously we can't touch on them all, and it's never been found. So until someone really digs it up, you can take a picture and, or someone gets their face melted from it when they, you know, the first guy digs it up, he digs into the ground with a shovel. He hits like the one right in the middle of the wing, and then boom, he gets
just explodes.
Oh shit. What the hell happened?
It's real. It's all real.
It works.
Until then, we won't know, but it's a cool topic. There's more to look into. So hashtag look it up.
Fire up the Randomatron.
You got it. Printing out.
Oh, what is that? What is this? Is this a single piece of spice news?
Damn right.
Single piece of space news. There, you know what? There hasn't been a lot in the space news front, but this is huge. The first time ever. SpaceX launched astronauts to the ISS using a recycled rocket. This is a huge step, because this now proves that like the cost of sending, being able to reuse these rockets is going to drop the cost of going to space exponentially.
Well, not to mention, we're making Captain Planet pretty fucking happy with that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, recycling, reusing.
Reduce, recycle, right?
And every time we send people up there, they're freaking, you know, we're less than the amount of people on Earth. So it's a win-win-win. So they launched from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida at 9:49 UTC. I don't know, what's UTC? That's 5:49 a.m. Eastern Time. With four astronauts from
Universal Time.
Come on, Central. Man. Yeah. Yeah. Four astronauts from three countries on Crew 2 now making their way to the one and only International Space Station. But, you know, like, that's huge. Like, this is huge.
As far as rockets go, like reusing rockets, this is huge. Like, the first time humans have been transported on a reused rocket, but also the first time 11 humans have been aboard the ISS at the same time.
So when they were driving out to the launch pad, they were in three white Teslas, and the license plates were recycle, reuse, and reduce.
Reduce, right? Reuse, recycle. That's awesome.
So pretty cool. That's like some action in space news. So like, we're seeing milestones now in our lifetime where we're just going to continually see, you know, the limits of what we can do and how fast we can achieve getting people up to space. It's going to start growing exponentially. It's crazy time. If you haven't already bought some public holdings of some space companies,
there's
a chance. Yeah. This isn't financial advice, but I mean, there's a couple coming. Get in now, because when this shit starts popping off, it's going to be big.
Yeah.
Big government contracts involved.
And by the time you're listening to this, the 11 aboard the spacecraft will be diminished by 4, because on April 28th,
they execute them?
Yeah. They just,
yes. They're going to space them.
They put them in the airlock.
It's for space QC.
They put them in the airlock and just launch them out into space.
Launch them out.
See you later.
Well, see you later. Big gulps, huh?
No, but they're returning four people back from the space station then. So, hope for a nice return mission.
That's it for space news. Did I see it printed out something else as well?
I think so.
All right. So at the beginning of these things, like we say, you know, happens to a friend of a friend of a friend of mine, but I'm going to say it in the first person.
Person.
All right. So this certain call comes in as a man down. Setting, late night, almost early morning.
Gotcha.
Pitch black. Man down, undisclosed alley. Small,
town in a interior province somewhere. I don't know. That would probably sound like a decent descriptor.
Like in Okanagan,
maybe? Why don't we just call it Kelowna, where you guys live, just for ease?
That's fair. I mean, that'll probably help me paint the picture the best.
The best place in the interior.
Yeah, so we don't really get a good description of this. We just get a man down.
But again, this isn't you, just because I'm a little confused. This isn't you or not. It's not Kelowna.
It's not Kelowna. It's not me.
Yeah, it's your friend.
It's not Kelowna. It's not me. I'm just trying to paint a picture.
That's very similar to Kelowna.
Yeah, just trying to paint a picture.
Okay, perfect.
So we get this man down.
Picture
call comes in from a passerby, which means somebody who drives past, sees something fucked up, is like, nah, you know what? That looks weird. I don't want to get out of my car. I'm just going to call 911 and keeps going. Happens a lot. It's very unfortunate. So we pull up to the scene, flashlights out, because like I'm saying, pitch black. Can't really see anything, but you can hear this gurgling and this cracking and popping sound. And you're just like, that doesn't sound normal. Maybe there's a fucking raking in a garbage can or something, but like maybe let's go towards that. So flashlights out, our friend of a friend's a little bit of pussy, just like me. He's a little bit scared. It's creepy.
It's fair.
It's too dark. And on his approach, he looks down behind this dumpster and he sees what looks like, you know, middle-aged man actively seizing. So, okay, you know, we have a call here. So get down right away, support the man's head so it's not thrashed around, hitting the ground, and ask my partner right away. I'm like, you know, we need an O2 saturation level, like blood oxygen levels. We need to get one of those right away. We need to make sure this guy's getting adequate oxygenation. Let's rip off a set of vitals. And as we're doing this, like many of these calls, the fire department shows up and they come in rolling behind us. Perfect. My partner's getting vitals. I'm supporting this man's head. And I asked one of the firefighters, I'm like, hey, can you come over and take over for me? I need to, you know, get a blood sugar on this guy. I want to find out what's going on. Is this a drug-induced seizure? Or, you know, like, we need to figure out what the hell's going on because it's pitch black. We have no idea. So, you know, the firefighter that's holding the gentleman's head's like, can you hear that? And I'm like, yeah, like it's like crunching, and this crunching keeps getting louder and louder and louder. And like, it's just super eerie sound, and you couldn't really feel it, you know, figure it out. And you're sitting there with your flashlight, you know, doing a quick once over. And all of a sudden you look up and the patient has his hand in his mouth as he's seizing. And the crunching that we hear?
No.
Or the crunching of his fingers.
No!
And the firefighter kind of panics for a second. And he's like, he's chewing on his fingers. And he grabs the patient's hand and pulls on his hand as hard as he can.
No.
And as he pulls on this gentleman's hand, all that comes out are two degloved fingers. The rest gone. So he chewed through.
Just munched him down.
Two of his fingers. All that were left were his fucking pinky, whatever the fucking finger beside the pinky's called. Ring finger.
Ring finger.
And thumb. And those two fingers were completely degloved. Now, if you don't know what degloved means, it means it's been stripped of all tissue, muscle, everything, down to the bone. The two other fingers, the middle finger, the pointer finger, gone. We had to rush this gentleman to the hospital where they did x-rays on him to see. And he did, in fact, swallow his fingers.
Because he was seizing so hard, he was chewing his fingers.
And the problem was, is his doctor prescribed him midazolam, but it was an oral version of it. So it's a sedative, and he pumped the sedative into his mouth.
Passed
and
out.
They say you're supposed to rub it into your gums to help
out.
You absorb it.
Oh, no.
And I guess he started seizing while it was happening. Oh, man. It was, like, I'm telling you right now, sounded like somebody was just chewing on lifesavers. And you just, like, you didn't think, you know, you're like, that's a really weird sound, but we need to maintain, like, check the vitals. We need to make sure this guy's airway's open. And you're just doing your, like, the last thing that you fucking pops in your mind is the fact that this dude's just chomping through fucking bone. Oh, it was awful.
No kidding.
I do believe that they actually salvaged one of the fingers, though.
Like, from his stomach?
Don't quote me on it. Don't quote me on it.
We won't quote you.
I'll have to consult with a friend.
Oh, I'm going to follow up.
Let's just pretend he got one of his fingers back for a happy story ending.
I'd hope so. For his sake, I'd hope so. Because in the back of the ambulance, when he did... So following a seizure, there is this period. It's called a postictal period, right? Where you're basically like, you get... Basically like you're resetting, you know, you reset your computer and it takes a little bit to boot back up, right? So there's that weird period where it's loading and it's not working completely. And that's basically like your brain is resetting and it's loading. So you're going through this period where you're completely confused, and a lot of people become agitated and violent during the postictal period. So he had that in the back of the end, was thrashing around with only fucking three fingers left. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you see him look at his hand. He's like, what the fuck happened to my hand? And you're like, okay, he's out of the postictal period. He knows now that he's lost. Yeah, it was awful. Absolutely fucking awful.
And that's the worst.
Yeah, never forget that sound, my friend told me. Yeah, no. And that's it.
Ugh.
Awful.
The gloved hand. Don't Google it. Don't.
Yeah, no, Google it. It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, also or don't Google ever it. Google ring avulsion.
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
Yeah, but that's like that's terrifying. When someone was like, when I was like, oh yeah, you can't, like, when you're working out, take off any rings, you get ring avulsion. I was like, what's ring avulsion? They're like, you don't want it and don't look it up. And of course I was like,
they showed this picture when I was a machinist. I gotta look it up. Like, you're working like, around machinery, don't wear rings.
Oh my god, dude, I've never forgot. I watched a video of a dude getting pulled into one of those machines once. I can never forget it. Awful, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow. Moving on to a little more positive news. This week's Theorite of the Week. Woo, woo, woo. It's tough to knock off the champ sometimes, you know. Every once in a while, someone comes along and they just
and fucking, someone makes it undeniable. Like every now and then, there's a person that makes it undeniable.
Don't be jealous. Just up your game.
Just not
because he's blowing you guys away. Not just he is. He's blowing everybody
not just
away.
Undeniable in one sense. Undeniable in this guy is just putting up gold left and right all day long, every day. It's insane. So we got to give a 2-time Theorite of the Week to actually 2 times in 3 weeks. Which has never happened
which
before.
Is unheard of.
Never happened before. Dude. To Brendan Burmeister.
He's
unreal.
Listen, he's so on it. This guy is so on it that he must be listening live, and he's already made a cover to All My Friends Are Space Idiots and posted it on the Facebook group.
Like that, I wouldn't
and
be
it's
surprised.
Hilarious. Like it's perfect.
They're all on point. They all have meaning. They're all hilarious. The guy's fucking on fire. Yeah,
it's tough to knock off the champ sometimes. So if you have not seen his work, you got to head over to the Facebook group, search for Alien Theorist.
That Rocky one?
Mm.
That Rocky one with Dan? Phenomenal.
Some good shit, man.
Fucking phenomenal. Ride with Mr. Magoo? Unreal. The guy's fucking great. He's great.
We got to get the guy's Instagram handle and post some of the stuff on Instagram as content because some of it is just so good and give him credit on there. It's just amazing. So Brendan Burmeister, Theorite of the Week. 2-time. Welcome to the 2-time club. We appreciate it. It's just gold.
Everyone else, step your game up.
I mean, there's a lot of people are doing a great job, but some people just, you know, stand head and shoulders sometimes above. Yeah. You gotta beat the best. Just like the running challenge. You gotta beat Mr. Zeitgeist. It's impossible. It's got 450.
Although one of my favorite, you know, it was a Brendan meme of Saved by the Zell where you're all the characters.
I'm all the
Saved
characters, by the Zell. Yeah.
But then someone mentioned Stephen Estep was like, Zelly Kapowski is hard.
Zelly Kapowski, amazing.
And I was like, fuck, that's funny, man. I was like, I've had some, I when the Facebook group started, I thought it was a toxic cesspool and I wanted nothing to do with it. And I openly commented on the show how much I hated it. I was like, I hate Facebook. I hate the group. It's a toxic wasteland. We had to make rules because people were being fucking assholes to each other non-fucking stop. It was unbelievable. And like this last year,
amazing.
We've seen a huge shift to where it's just turned into this place of comedy where everyone's banded together to roast us as much as possible and try to hurt
don't
our feelings.
Don't ever stop.
It's excellent.
Don't ever stop.
It may be now, as far as Facebook goes, the most positive place on Facebook because the rest is pretty bad. So Facebook is just insane. But our personal group, our private group, you got to be accepted through our Facebook page is amazing now. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hilarious.
Inbox isn't always a friendly place, but that's the way she goes.
I mean, that's part of being a public show. Like, shit happens.
Apparently.
No big deal.
Yeah.
All right. Just before I do patrons, this week. Song of the Week is now postponed again, and I'll tell you why right now.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
We thought we had a great thing going, but you post a song, and it turns out if you're not, because podcasts on Spotify are free, like just like any podcast player, you download Spotify, you use it as a podcast player, you can download, it's all free, no problems. But as soon as we attached, like you embed the Spotify song, as soon as you do that, if you're a free user of Spotify, you no longer can download the pod. And that was not the goal. So Band of the Week, Song of the Week is being postponed. It'll come back again as a different form. Maybe its own, like a separate, like a once a month, like do like a music of the month. Like I'm not sure yet, but we're gonna work on it because we can't do that. The whole the whole point of joining Spotify is to keep it free and accessible anytime, anywhere. So that's not gonna fly. But
and we want to use our immense fame and cultural influence to help out smaller bands and pods and stuff. So
our immense fame,
our A-list level influence to a rising tide rises all ships.
G-list.
Yeah, if you we're trying to get some independent artists a couple thousand streams. It didn't work out. All right.
Well, we'll figure out another way.
But. We will get it back. All right, if you're not supporting the show and you want to get early access, bonus stuff, live streams, all the other goodies, head over to patreon.com. What's that, Dan?
The Ron Pond fan pick poll.
Fan pick poll for $10 or more. Head over to patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast or more easily, find the link in the podcast description. You can't miss it. This week's Patreon supporters are another reason this guy's posting gold and a full year pledge by Brendan Burmeister. Woo! Travis Hamath. Oliver Leedon.
Dude, he was also our 700th Patreon.
Was he?
700 Patreons?
Yeah, 700.
But wait.
Holy fuck.
Just wait for the end of the month. There's always an exodus. Just like Moses and the Israelites.
My bad.
We'll see above 40 Patreoners take a march.
600,000.
You see about a 5 to 10% drop every month in the end. Leedom. My bad. Tim Friedman. Coleman Stewart. A full year pledge by Antonio Reza. Carol Bradley, Ellie Wednesday, Luke Wickens, Finn Lambden, Unauthorized Cinnamon. What's authorized cinnamon?
Yeah.
And Lyndon Shepherd went up in their pledge to $10, joined the Ron Pond tier. We appreciate it.
And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
See you in after hours.
Peace.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.